Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the dapper dawn, giving them all on, dress like a million bucks, buying things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together.
I sure will. Hey, good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. I've been saying it like that since I got it, too. I figure why stop now. A lot of people get bored with stuff that works for them because they just want to do something different. Sometimes, man, repetition is good. Sometimes repetition is good. Over and over and over until it becomes second nature. And then it's almost like you ain't doing it at all. That's what I've found. That's just a little piece of information. Y'all probably already know that, though. Sometimes I'm just a reminder. That's it. All right. Got a good one for you today. Yesterday, the other day, I was talking to you about the most effective weapon available to us as human beings, I think, is prayer. I think prayer helps us in so many ways. But right now, what I want to do is I want to show you how prayer pays off. I want to show you what good it can do for you. Even me, I use it every day. And the days I don't use it, I feel it. The days that I go, you know, without talking to him as much, I notice it. I feel it. I feel a certain kind of way. You know, that doubt starts slipping in again. That uneasy feeling of uncertainty slips in again. That wondering what I'm going to do starts slipping in again. It happens to me. It happens to everybody, man, I think. I really, really do. You know, if people would just keep it real with each other, stop being this Christian, this Superman, because you ain't. You ain't. There's a scripture that says there's none perfect. No, not one. That's everybody. That cover all of us, don't it? So sometimes I think we're a little too hard on each other with that too, seeing as how we not perfect. We immediately want to just oh man, you just want to kill when we find somebody do something wrong, especially if it go public. Everything go public now called social media. But anyway, I just want to talk to you about how prayer pays off. I mean, it's called ROI in money. People got money, call it ROI, so return on investment. People are always looking for a return on investment. You know, nobody in business really gives you money without understanding the return on investment. They don't even give monies to charities unless they think it can do something with the bottom line. A lot of companies work like that. I found that out myself. Sad, but it is true. So since everything is expected to work on a return on investment, I assume because we're human beings. So since we're all human beings, whether you're in business or not, you're still in the business of living. I think when you pray, you should expect a return on your investment. You talked to him. You spent time opening up to him. You bowed your head to him. You humbled yourself. You got on your knees. I mean, but really we talking God here. So really what you doing ain't really about nothing, be honest with you. The little bit that you do on his behalf, it just pales in comparison with what he does. But let's just say you want to call yourself invested. Well, let me show you how it pays off. This, because see, for me, this is for me now. Prayer pays off in different ways. That's what I had to learn. See, I was praying, but I was asking him specifically for what I wanted. I had the audacity, though, to turn around and tell him how to do what I wanted. That's amazing, man. I can't tell you how many blessings I blocked coming my way by putting my faith in what I said I wanted and how I wanted him to do it. I want you to give me this. I want that person to go away. I want this person to accept everything you say. Then I want to go over here and I want this deal to happen like this. And I want that person to just step aside and let me through. And then I had it mapped out. God must have been chuckling really hard. He had to be going, boy, I made you to be funny, but boy, you're funny now. So you're going to tell me how to do it. And you've all heard this right here. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. Well, that's what I did. And that's how we pray a lot of times. We pray, and we pray in the prayer with telling him how to work it out. Well, here's the deal. This is what I've learned. Prayer pays off in different ways. There's a different return of my investment when I pray. See, sometimes when I'm praying for something, a situation to dissolve itself or go away, sometimes I get courage out of the prayer. Prayer provides me courage. That's just to go on and look at it, I guess. Face it. Then sometimes when I'm praying about a situation, sometimes prayer gives me hanging power. Sometimes, man, I look up and I'm just handling it better. Sometimes prayer gives you laugh it off power. Sometimes, man, you just got to laugh it off. Whatever, man. You tripping. Do you know what that is if you could do that? You know, sometimes it gives you a show of strength, power. Sometimes prayer allows you to have the appearance that you got it all together. Nobody got to know the whirlwind, the tornado, the hurricane that's swirling in your life. You standing over there like the eye of the hurricane. And it's all swirling around you, but you standing there like the eye. You just as calm. That's what prayer does. So when you pray, man, it builds up a lot of things in you. You know what it's done for me? Prayer has built up character in me. It's made me have more character because I'm able to stand stronger on the things I say because I've been praying, because I've been asking God for all of those return of investments. I've been asking God for courage. I've been asking God for hanging that power. I've been asking him to give me the power to walk away. I've asked him to give me ignored power. I've asked him to help me laugh it off. I've asked him to show me strength. But you know what I was doing? I was really praying, not really for them things, be real with you. I was asking him to help me. Lord, help me. You ever done that? You ever asked God for help? And then all of a sudden a list of these things show up? See, sometimes how you want the problem to be solved ain't the best way. There's a lesson to be learned when we make mistakes. And sometimes you got to stay in that fire and you got to learn that lesson. But guess what, though? When you come out of it, you're going to be better for it. You're going to know more about it. Come on, y'all, pray. Ain't nothing wrong with it. You done tried everything else. Look where you're at now. What about prayer? Yeah, people kill me, man, trying to talk me off this hustle right here. God ain't this and God ain't yonder. Lord left me. Lord don't leave nobody, man. Look at your decisions. God has never left you. You turned your back. You went the other way. You tried something else. You took another swing. You went another route. You looked for an alternative solution. That was you. That ain't never him. He's solid. His word is true. It lasts forever. He do what he say he gonna do now. All day. All night, 24/7, he 24/8. He do it all day, all night, and then some more. His word don't ever change. It's true. It works for me. It worked for you. It worked for Jakes. It worked for Osteen. It worked for Kirk Franklin. It worked for Paula White. It worked for Billy Graham. It worked for Mother Teresa. It worked for Gandhi. It worked for princes, Arabs. It worked, man. It worked for you. What you waiting for? Why don't you put prayer in your game? Watch what happened to you. You sitting in that jail cell and you struggling with it, and they telling you blood in, blood out, you can't get in. You, that's foolishness, man. What you mean? God can get you out of anything. Look, man, if you done read your Bible, he done got some people out of some sticky situations. I don't know what you talking about. If Daniel was in the lion's den and Jonah was in the belly of the whale, what you talking about? Where you at? You just sitting in a cell with some dudes around you talking about what they going to do. Man, you got to be real. God can't nothing do nothing. Nobody do, can't nobody do nothing to you. God won't give you the strength to handle. Prayer changes things, man.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys, people, did anybody listen to me? You're about to witness what's called mayhem.
Like the commercial?
This organized, people here, people missing,
people walking
coming,
out.
Going, walking out. It's just crazy. And all this.
People coming back.
Yeah. It's got to do with management and ownership.
And the CEO.
It just seems like don't nobody give a damn. And we got to stop all this not caring.
This is nothing to laugh about. This is nothing to laugh about. Good morning.
Answer the question, girl.
Hey.
You can't stop this from being mayhem.
This is nothing to laugh about. This is serious. This is our livelihood.
Well, you know, act like it.
You act like it.
I'm
this is a mess.
Like
I'm in.
See, right there. Right there. Right there.
Carla.
We have told you.
See, right there, what I tell you.
We have told you.
Right there, why ain't she here? Junior.
Morning, Unc.
Uh-huh. Jay.
What up, Steve? I'm back, man.
Nephew Tommy.
He's out, too. He went to the store.
He picked off the street.
No, he went to the store.
Yeah. We sent him to the store.
This show got people going to the store this early in the morning. Ain't no stores on the way from his house to here.
Yeah. He had to get a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk.
He come in here, get on the mic, and then get his little ass up. Now he trying to cross the street in traffic.
A dozen eggs and a pound of bacon.
With his little ass.
Anything left, get some for yourself.
Right.
Nah, this is crazy.
And bring back my chain.
This ignorant show.
Down
this
to
show
the penny.
It is strange, man. And I'm going to read my receipts. I'm going to count up with you.
Yeah. Well, Jay's back, Steve. He spent
that's
what,
a whole nother story.
Yeah, he spent the last month or so.
I ain't never seen nobody. He going to see his daughter get crowned as principal.
Crowned? Queen principal?
But down in the country, that's such a big-ass deal. It's a six-day event.
Yeah, evidently it is.
They made her principal, queen of corn shucking. She had to ride around the whole town on a Shetland pony.
It's the principal.
Waving at everybody.
The principal of the thing. That's what it was.
He been gone so many damn times. Junior say she got promoted. What took him so long, she went from principal to superintendent in 2 days. Who the girl small? Well,
the nephew's back with our stuff.
Check the bag, Shirley. Everything's there.
Always need something.
Loaf of bread.
Going
thank
to
you.
The store in the middle of the damn show. Crazy.
We got thirsty.
Taking care of them girls. That's my life story.
Thank you.
What's happening? Good morning.
I like that attempt, though.
Good morning. Good morning.
We'll be back to talk about you and Jay right after.
No, yeah.
Me
no.
and Jay. What's up with me and Jay?
You know, Bill Jay just got here, too. Jay been gone 6 days. Watching his daughter walk across. I don't know what size that stage was. She going over there and get the principal award.
A lot of pomp and a lot of circumstance. All right, we're coming back with something funny right after this. The guys are back together. The band.
By 10.
Yeah. We'll be back at 32 after the hour.
Championship team.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, it is time for something funny. Good to have the band all back together again.
Jay's championship back. Team, yeah. Back there.
Championship team, baby.
Yeah.
Congratulations to my daughter who became a principal. What?
Steve said it was so long she became the dean.
How long was the ceremony, Jay?
Down south is 4 days.
Yeah, because that's about how long he's been gone.
Jay, you left in April. It's May. Come back, it's a whole new month.
How was it, Jay?
It was very, I cried. It was very touching.
You cried? Did you?
Yeah. Watch my daughter become a principal?
No, you cried.
As dumb as I am, yes, I shed it a tear. Yeah,
did you speak? Did you speak on her behalf or anything?
No, I didn't have to speak. No.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't going to miss that moment.
No, Jay, I wasn't going to embarrass her.
Now, you know I'm on Jay team. You know that.
Yes.
Oh, Team Jay.
You know I'm Team Jay all
and
day.
He's Team Tommy.
And you Team Tommy. But, Jay, you know, it's kind of funny that you was gone the same time the cruise was going on. You know, that's just amazing to me, Jay. You know?
Oh, I think you just got smooth busted, Jay.
I'm Team Jay. I'm Team Jay all day long.
Uh-huh.
But he just happened to be gone the same time the cruise was going on, man.
Steve, you hear this? You hear this, Steve?
You know, I'm sitting up here kind of squinting a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you go back over there, Jay?
I didn't. Jay?
That's how you start lying, right?
I did not go.
Did you swim back? Is that what took so long, Jay? What happened?
Well, first of all, we need to check if his daughter is really the principal.
Wow, okay. Shirley, yeah. You too? She's not a principal. She is a principal.
No, she the principal. What happened was...
It just didn't take as long.
Tom found out he was on board. Uh-huh. Threw him off halfway between Miami and the Bahamas.
No, because I hope she is. I believe that she is, but it's a great excuse to get out of work. I'm just
trying
saying.
To tell you,
she's a principal.
Yeah.
She is a principal.
Yeah. You can't say it right? What's wrong?
She is a principal. She is a principal.
Well, congratulations.
Why are you using your high boy?
Yeah. But the timing
Why
of it
are you
all.
Using your high boy?
Yeah. It's funny Junior asked you that.
Yeah, Junior knows a high voice when you hear
one. I know that.
Junior, how you doing on your cleanse, your D-Herbs cleanse?
Shirley, it's day 10. I'm doing great.
Oh,
Shirley,
good. Yeah.
I'm doing great.
Shirley.
Uh-huh.
I've joined Junior.
You've joined Junior?
Oh, you own it too?
Okay. So you're
like day two.
You adopted with you stopped with the 16, 18, 12, whatever you were doing.
Why you stopped at?
16, 8.
I stepped on the scale. Because you hadn't lost a damn ounce.
Explain what you were doing, Steve.
Not now. I ain't lost an ounce.
Explain what you were doing. You were eating.
It's called intermittent fasting.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You eat 8 hours and you fast for 16.
What?
Woo.
That's what you're now.
So I was eating from 12 noon to 8 at night.
Wow.
And then once 8 at night came, I didn't eat again until 12 noon.
But you ate whatever you wanted?
Well, you still eat clean foods, whole foods, organic foods.
Mm-hmm. So what
That's
is this cleanse y'all on now?
But wait. Okay, so why did you stop that?
Because I said I was going to weigh myself after a week.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I felt a lot lighter, but I think it's my scale. So my clothes fit different, everything.
I've said but that
it
one
ain't
before.
I would just change my scale.
I think scale elves are coming in at night, Steve, and setting your scale to different.
Yeah.
So now you're saying because that didn't work, you didn't lose any weight or anything. Now you're on D-Herbs with Junior. I love it. Okay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Man, get on over here.
Cleanse it out.
Okay. So what is it? Yeah. Now tell me the cleanse. Y'all explain it to me. Let me hear it.
Cleanse is 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
You take 6 cleansing herbs that cleans all of your
vital
elimination
organs.
Channels,
yeah.
Toxins, everything. It does work.
Kidney, liver, spleen.
Kidney, liver, spleen, there you go. Yeah. And colon.
What do you eat?
Blood. All raw foods.
Raw fruits, vegetables, raw nuts, drink lots of water. And Junior's on day 10.
Jay ain't going to make because he don't want to go to Whole Foods and buy no food.
Yeah, because he complains about the prices all the time.
It's all raw?
Yeah. Yes. Like salads and
Every
stuff.
Day?
Yes.
21 days.
Like, remember when you were a vegan?
No.
Remember when you
were... He said no chicken.
Oh, that was a long time ago, Shirley. Long.
No, man, chicken.
We're not going back to those
But now
days.
Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when you eat raw, you get all the nutrients from the food.
Yeah.
when you cook food, it loses the nutrients.
You can steam the veggies.
Steam the veggies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep, you can do that.
Yep.
Well, I just want to say vegetables taste better with chicken.
You're not trying to start anything.
Doesn't beat greens with a half hot head.
Greens go good.
But I told you about my aunt. She loved, she always cooked a big pot of greens with ham hocks, but she didn't want the greens. She just ate the ham hocks.
For the flavor.
Don't like let that. Any greens get on her ham hock. She would be mad.
I can say that when I stopped eating bread and meat for a year, I lost a lot of weight. But I ain't finna go back to that right now. That we ain't no.
But I think you were happier during that
I
time.
I got meat money, so it's not.
You're not denying yourself of anything.
No. Except I got meat money now.
If you quit drinking soda, they say that drops a lot.
Because of the sugar and the carbonation.
Why am I have all of the meat money and not eat meat? That don't make no sense.
Pocket full of money with
salad.
I'm
eating salad.
Steve, remember when we were in that restaurant in Chicago? And it took a long time for us to get our food, remember?
More?
And so the guy said, you order some boiled eggs or something like that.
I ordered some deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs. Yeah.
Some extra ones.
tell it, yeah. And the guy was like,
so I said, hey, man, I'd like to have four extra deviled eggs. He said, sir, what did you say? I said, I want four extra. He said, that's not in you all's menu. I said, that's okay, I just want the four eggs. He said, sir, I must inform you that I'm going to have to charge you extra for these eggs.
Boy, we looked at that, man.
I looked up at him and said, hey, man, I got eggs. The hell you talking about? You're going to charge me for these four damn eggs.
They kill me when they say that to you.
Man, I must let you know we're going to charge you extra for these eggs. You're going to get to write it down. Man.
Right. All right, coming up next, the nephew with Run That Prank Back right after this.
Every egg you got in here, partner.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Carla is still out with her daughter. They're still cheering.
You know
little
y'all.
Tasha is a champion.
Well, no, see what I'm saying?
See that?
Little Tasha is
see
a
that
champion,
principal?
Though.
Now we cheer. How much hollering? Stop all that bouncing. Stop all that jumping around in that living room while I beat your ass.
Tasha is a champion.
My little girl was there, too. It was in Orlando. It was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
My little girl, Sydney.
Sydney.
She cheer.
That's right.
Championship tier.
She's so cute. She's adorable.
Championship tier.
We have to cheer with our children.
That's right. Support them. Coming up at the top of the hour in entertainment news. Wow. The Me Too movement gaining steam against R. Kelly. And come on, Tommy, with that prank phone call you got.
CPS.
Oh.
Child Protective Services. Running cat.
Hello. Hello. I'm trying to speak to the man of the house, please.
It's me.
Mr. Jason.
You got him.
All right. How you doing, sir?
All right. Who's this?
My name is Mark. Mark's giving you a call, actually, from Child Protective Services. How's your day going today so far?
Oh, I'm good. But you sure you're calling the right place?
Yeah, definitely. You're Mr. Jason, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, your girlfriend or your wife, I'm not sure if you guys are married or not, is Miss Stephanie. I presume?
Right, but it's my girl, but paying her last name, but now you said you call them from where again?
Child Protective Services, sir. And really what's going on here, Jason, is that you guys have five children, am I correct?
Okay, yeah.
Now, what we're having here is we've been getting, sir, a few reports that these kids aren't being taken care of properly.
Nah. Reports from where? We take care of these kids. That ain't, and shouldn't nobody be feeding y'all no garbage like that, that we ain't taking care of no kids. Nah, we got five kids. It's hard out here, but we take care of them kids.
We're getting reports that you guys are not feeding them properly, that some nights and some days these kids actually go without eating.
They don't
have proper clothing attire.
Nah, that ain't true. All them kids, every last one of the kids, they wear designer. They, fashionable. Ain't nobody not taking care of the kids. I don't even know where you're getting that from.
Are you guys combing their hair and brushing their teeth in the morning?
Come on, man. Like you got to be. You got to be playing.
And, no, I'm not, actually. And that leads me to something else. I've actually had a visit with the at the school today, and I visit with a couple of the children. Now, the younger son, I met with him today, and we talked, and I asked him a few questions. I told him, I said, I have a few more questions I want you to answer. And to be honest with you, Mr. Jason, he stood up and looked me in the eye and said, that. And I was blown away by it. And I said, wait a minute, excuse me, what did you say? You hear what I said? I said, that.
Yeah, but.
Now, from my understanding, I asked him, I said, where did you hear that kind of language being said? Where did you hear that from? And he said he heard it from his father at home.
That's like, I don't talk like that around my kids. That's a bunch of like,
no,
that ain't.
You're here you are saying it now. You're cursing now.
I'm cussing to you, but I don't cuss to my kids like that. I don't talk to my kids like that, man.
Sir, if you're talking like this in front of me, then 9 times out of 10, you're doing it in front of the kids as well.
Hold on. Listen, I'm a grown man. You calling me, telling me about my kids, and you going to tell me how I can't talk to you? I don't talk around my kids like that. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, sir, let me bring this to a nutshell for you. What we're doing today is we are coming by there, and we're going to have to bring we're going to have to bring all 5 kids in.
Hold on, listen. You coming to get who? 5 kids? You're not coming. Listen to this. Now I'm gonna keep it real with you. Now I've been trying to hold my composure since you got on the phone. First of all, I don't appreciate you calling me like this with no like this. Now, the first 3, those ain't mine. They dad live up the street. You might go find him in the pool hall somewhere. You're not coming to get them last 2.
Sir, I'm coming to get all 5 children, sir.
Yeah, listen to this.
Sir,
you will not be coming to get those last 2. I can guarantee you won't be coming to get those last 2.
I have to bring all 5 children in. That's just that's my assignment. That's what has to be done.
Okay, well, check this out. Assignment, my if you step foot up here, look, I'm not going to even keep playing myself. Man, I do what I'm supposed to do by all those kids. You not taking those last 2 out of here.
I'm taking all 5 children. Are you hearing me?
Hey, check this out.
Are you listening to me?
Yo, man, who the f*** you talking to? I'm like, yo, who you keep raising your voice at like that? I'm a grown man. You better slow it up. I don't give a f*** who you are. You better not be calling me with that
f***, sir. I'm bringing a van in there at 4:00, and we're hauling these kids into protective services. Do you understand that?
Tell you what. Hold on. Let me tell you something. See, that's where you f***ed up at. Now, you going to tell me what time you coming down here. That's some real gangster shit. Bring your ass down here at 4:00. I swear to God, I will be waiting on your ass.
Sir, I don't want any problems. I'm letting you know that.
No problems, my ass. 4:00. Show up at 4:00.
Uh-huh.
Just 4:00. Ain't nothing else to talk about.
There is. I want you to have all the kids' things packed in a bag.
Hey, listen. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Okay? Don't talk about this no more. Be about it. 4:00. You're going to have a light skin all over your ass. 4:00.
So I got one more thing I need to say to you before I get there today, okay?
4:00. I don't want to hear that. 4:00.
So I got one more thing I want to say to you.
4:00. Go ahead, say it, man. 4:00. That's what I got to say to you.
But I got one more thing to say to you. Can I say it?
Say it. Say it.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked, baby. You just got pranked by your sister.
Who? What is this?
Jason. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Man, listen. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something.
Hey, man, your sister Regina put me up to this, man.
Man, look, Regina need a whip. That's what needs to happen. Man, y'all playing games with me. Got these kids over here struggling. And like, excuse me. I mean, you better be glad you said you was Nephew Tommy, because somebody pulled up here at 4:00. They was getting a mud hole stomped in the top of their damn hood. For real. I wasn't playing that shit. You know, damn. You scared the hell out of me. That's just point blank, man.
Hey, man, I got to ask you, man. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
Oh, man, Steve Harvey Morning Show, man.
See, I get right to the beatdown line.
You do, man.
And I wait right there.
Yeah.
You push it, buddy.
Right at the beatdown line.
You can't mess with people's kids, though. We have told you that.
What's the line on?
If you're not doing what you need to do for your kids, CPS pick your kids up. That's what that's for.
But he was doing it.
That's what that's for. I'll come get your damn kids from you. You ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing.
In a van.
Who is it?
You, Tommy.
Who are you?
Ass whooping.
That's how it's going to go down, Steve.
Mr. Whooping. First name ass.
All right, listen, coming up at the top of the hour, Mother's Day is this Sunday, guys. And up next in entertainment news, we're going to talk about the single mom of five and now the law graduate, Aisha Champs, her recent interview on your talk show, Steve. Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, this Sunday is Mother's Day. We just love this moment. And interview from your daytime talk show, Steve, when your special guest was Aisha Champs. She's a single mom of five who is now a law school graduate. Take a listen to this moment from your Instagram page.
Your husband passed.
He was the father of two of my children. He passed away in 2009.
Wow.
And I ended up going back to get my GED. My prophet is at church, said God.
You went back and got your GED?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, now, you were just talking about your church, how important of a role they played in your...
Most definitely.
As you went into law school, how did they keep you going?
Actually, law school was so far from my mind. Like I stated, I was a high school dropout. And when the father of my children passed away, my pastor at Ministers for Christ, her name is Louise Holman, she said, God told me to tell you you need to go back and get your GED. Yeah. And I said, I'm too old. I have too many children. And she said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And...
Wow.
Woo.
That's great.
Yeah, man.
What a story she has, though.
I met her backstage. She was beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful spirit.
And her five kids were right there to see her through it all.
She was a high school dropout. Mm-hmm. Went back, got a GED. Then went to college.
Come on.
And then went to law school.
Don't tell me you can't do this.
I can't do this. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. Which baffles me about my nephew, what he's struggling with.
What is he struggling with?
Everything. Bathing for one.
How old is he here? A junior? How old is he?
16.
Oh, wow.
We can't get him to learn or bathe.
Maybe he's camp going open? Through something.
That is an incredible
story. Funky and dumb. That ain't
good. Want him at the camp?
I want to bring him down to the camp. He really needs some motivation.
Okay. I'm going to whoop his ass, you know.
I want him to.
Okay.
Because what I'm doing ain't working.
He ain't went a year without whooping somebody's ass in the woods.
So. You're not supposed to say that, though, Tommy.
What?
This little boy, Reese, man, was my greatest example.
Mm-hmm.
From time he got off the bus, man, we couldn't do nothing with this boy. Mm-hmm. This little boy was honorary, man. Get y'all hands off me. Don't get out my face. I ain't doing nothing y'all tell me to do. 2 days later, he around the corner. All the soldiers are sitting there with all his stuff rolled up. I said, Mr. Harvey, we can't keep spending time with this young man. It's taking away time from these other 200-some boys in here. It's too many soldiers got to spend time with him. We're just going to let him go home. We took his T-shirts and shorts, and shoes, everything to camp, got him. He can't keep none of this. I walked around and I said, Reese, I said, what's happening with you, little man? I'm through with it. I told y'all, I'm through with it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, listen, man, I don't really lose boys down here. I said, in all the years I've been doing the camp, I ain't lost but two boys. One of them, mama, okay, we out of here. This program ain't for my son. Y'all got him doing push-ups. What? Boy, you know what life finna have your son doing, lady? Push-ups. He don't want to do all them push-ups. Well, I don't want to go work every day. But hell, if you want groceries, you got to get... I said, lady, you don't take your... I'm taking him out of here. So that's the one we lost. So I'm talking to Reese. I said, my man, let me explain something to you. I said, I can't let you go home. He said, Mr. Harvey, no disrespect, because I really like you. I don't like nobody else at this camp, but I do like you. I ain't finna do nothing nobody tell me to do.
Wow.
I said, well, son, let me tell you this. Since you like me, know this, that I love you. Mr. Harvey, you say you love me, you don't even know me. I said, I love you for coming here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell it. I tell it when I come back. It'll take about a minute to tell. I'm going to tell y'all a story, a true story of this boy that came to my camp.
Oh, okay.
A few years ago.
All right, Steve, let's go ahead and transfer on over to Miss Ann.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, our very own talented, informative Miss Ann Tripp.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning, everybody out there. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Let's get started. The rumors, yes, they were true, apparently. President Trump says he is pulling the United States out of the Iran nuclear deal, and he's promising to reinstate, quote, the highest level of economic sanctions, unquote.
It is clear to me that we cannot prevent an Iranian nuclear bomb under the decaying and rotten structure of the current agreement.
The deal lifted economic sanctions on Iran in exchange for limitations on its nuclear program. Of course, the president's decision now raises questions as to whether Iran is going to continue to hold up its end of the multinational agreement negotiated by former President Obama and five other world powers. By the way, the other world powers say they're going to keep with the agreement. They're going to still trade, and they're still not going to be lifting their sanctions against Iran. So it's all very, very tricky. We'll see what happens. Housing and civil rights advocates are suing the Department of Housing and Urban Development, as well as HUD Secretary Dr. Ben Carson, over the department's plan to suspend a rule that requires communities to fight segregation in housing. The suit was brought by the National Fair Housing Alliance and two Texas-based organizations. They accuse HUD of unlawfully suspending an Obama-era fair housing provision that mandated that state and local governments take in billions in federal funding, have to, for that money, work towards rooting out discriminatory housing practices. The suit asked the court to force Housing and Urban Development to reinstate the rule. Early this year, Ben Carson put the anti-discrimination rule on hold, allowing cities to put off complying with it until after the year 2020. That's why they're suing. According to the Guardian newspaper, cops in California dispatched a bunch of squad cars and even a helicopter last month to detain three young black women who were simply coming out of their Airbnb rental in Rialto, a city about 60 miles east of L.A. Cops say a white woman called 911 to say the women were taking luggage out of the house and that they were probably robbers. Turns out all three were filmmakers. One is the late Bob Marley's granddaughter. They filmed the exchange, put it on Facebook. They told the first cop on the scene that they were Airbnb renters. He said, I never heard of Airbnb. The other officers had. They canceled the copter. Last week, cops in Colorado removed two Native American teenagers from a college touring bus because a white parent said they didn't look like they belonged. The NFL Players Union has filed a grievance against the National Football League on behalf of Colin Kaepernick's friend, safety Eric Reed, who knelt beside his teammate during the 2016 season. And finally, today is Bugs Bunny Day and Hairstyle Appreciation Day.
Give me a head with hair.
Long, beautiful hair. We'll be back with more entertainment in today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, divine designs, they were so beautiful, floated up
no,
the
road. No, hold on, Shirley.
Huh? Oh, you wanted
Before
to tell
you
your
do
story.
Before you the Met Gala, I want to tell you this story about this boy. So the camp is for boys from single-parent homes headed up by women. Mm-hmm.
Your Steve Harvey mentoring camp you're talking about.
So I'm talking to this little boy at the camp, and he's standing there. He say, hey, Mr. Harvey, you know my father.
Mm.
What? I know your father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, y'all friends. I said, hold on, man. I have no friends that don't take care of their kids.
Say that.
You know what I'm saying?
Say that. I love that.
That Della boy threw me off, man.
That's
I got no friends that don't take care of their kids. That's one of the qualities of being my friend, that you handle your business.
Yeah.
I don't have no don't handle your business friends.
Hmm.
Your kids is your business. He pulled out a wallet. He had a picture of me and his daddy. I know his daddy. I said, hey, man, so-and-so your father? Why you here? He said, because me and my father, we not close no more. Because he got married to this other woman. She don't like us, so he don't come around no more. I said, when last time you talked to your daddy? About 2 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I called him up from my ranch. I said, yo, what's up, man? How you doing? Steve, what's up, boy? What's happening with you? I said, man, long time. Yeah, man. I said, hey, man, I got a little problem I need to talk to you about. I say, your son is at my mentoring camp. You know, his mama was saying something about him going over there, man. Hmm. I said, I just met him. I said, hey, man, you got to come get your son.
Mm.
I said, dog, this little boy said y'all ain't talked in 2 years. You got to come get your son, dog. This camp is for women who handling these boys by themselves. I said, this dude showed me a picture of me and you. You got to come get your son. I said, no, you got to live up to your responsibility. I'm feeding your son, clothing him, and housing him for a week out here. I'm paying money for your son. Dog, you rich. You got money. All these poor kids out here need help. I'm taking care of your son. I said, partner, you got to come get your part. You got to come get your son within the next 2 hours. Mm. Oh, Steve, man, that's going to create all types of situations. I said, dog, you think that's going to create a situation? I said, you let me cut this radio switch on and tell everybody who you are with this business and your boy sitting out here. I'm gonna show you what the problem is. About 45 minutes later, he was out there.
Okay, you got him.
His son just ran up to him, hugged him, and started crying.
Oh, that's a heartwarming story, though.
It was heartwarming in my ass.
Well, he came and got him.
Hell, you sitting up in here, man. I'm Minnie and your boy, and I know you.
Yeah.
You and my daddy friends. I ain't got no friends don't take care of the kids.
All right, coming up in about 10 minutes, right about 34 after on this Woman Crush Wednesday, Gabrielle Union and Jada Pinkett Smith have squashed their beef. We'll talk about it right after this.
Right. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Today is Women Crush Wednesday, so let's talk about this trending story from Gabrielle Union and Jada Pinkett. They're saying this beef that they supposedly had, it's a media creation. That's just what it was. The media created it. They hyped it. Sure, Jada Pinkett Smith recently revealed that she and Gabrielle ended their 17-year feud, except no one really knows how it even got started. How did the beef start? No one knows.
So they've been not speaking for 17 years?
Yeah, Gabrielle Union doesn't even know. While promoting her new Facebook show, Red Table Talk, Jada told Extra that she and Gabby haven't been on speaking terms over this fight that she can't even remember. So they haven't been talking. They don't even know why they haven't been talking. But now the Gabrielle Union, she has explained her side of the story during the chat with Hoda Kotb on the Today Show. Take a listen.
Jada nor I ever used the word feud, so it just became more of a media creation.
Yeah.
Kind of like back in the day, neither one of us actually knows what originally took place back then, but the people that we had around us were like, well, you know how she feels about you.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you know how she feels about you. And then it was like, okay, for 17 years.
Wow.
And even though we're both very outspoken women, we're both activists, our husbands are friends, I've worked with our husband, we both felt we had too much pride and too much insecurities to just say, hey, did that ever actually happen, or was that a creation of someone else who did not want to see two women rise together? Because we're both talking about, how to stop, human trafficking, sexual trafficking.
Yeah.
We're both outspoken about, Black Lives Matter. We're both outspoken about so many things in our community, and we both have huge platforms. Imagine if we came together.
Wow.
And that's what we actually talk about on her show, how we got over ourselves, how we both evolved. No feud.
Excellent.
You know what, Shirley? You used to go around here without speaking. You remember that?
No.
Yeah.
No, I do Tommy. Not.
Yes, you do.
What?
Yes,
I do not.
So, yes, sir.
You're the one that gets mad and stops speaking
Come
for
on,
3
Tommy.
Weeks.
Shirley, you used to go without speaking, boy. Shirley, you used to get mad and would just.
I still get mad. I mean, we all do.
You would have some non-speaking weeks, though. You know that.
No, I don't.
But I'm the only one that's required on this show to fix it with some form of gift.
What are you talking about?
He wants and he don't even have to do nothing. I say, Shirley, how you don't get mad at Tommy like you get it mad? Because he's stupid. I'm going with that.
And you expect that of him? But you, Steve Harvey, no, there's no excuses for
Tommy,
you.
Tommy, you remember that time we was in L.A.?
Yeah.
I don't even know what I did to Shirley.
She still remember that, I bet you.
I had to. I bought her some balloons. And the dude was on the elevator with the balloons, and Shirley bust all the balloons.
What?
Bust all the damn
she
balloons.
Was mad. She didn't want any balloons.
She busted all the damn balloons on. I had an elevator full of balloons coming up.
Busted them.
We have
so
all
then I
evolved.
Had to come up with flowers.
Oh, she didn't like the balloons.
No, she busted all the balloons. So then I had to buy flowers. And I'm $600. Mm. You know how many balloons, man? $600.
And then we had, remember our promotion pictures we had sent out? I cut Steve's head
off
out of
the
all
picture.
The pictures, Jay. All of them.
What?
Uh-huh.
See?
Uh-huh.
See? It's coming out. You see this?
Oh, just as crazy as you want to be.
The one that sent you the scriptures in the morning.
The very one, in the words
the
of Carla Farrell.
On the show?
Yes.
Hello. You know,
but, all of that, Jay.
But like, we married. I ain't getting no benefit at all.
The one that always says, come on, let's talk it out?
Yeah.
That one? Oh, okay.
The peacemaker.
I just want to know who you was talking about. Oh, okay.
That's her.
I thought she was trying to do
that. Thank you. Thank you, Junior.
Have you changed, Shirley?
Have I changed?
He was the other Shirley.
I still get mad.
One morning I'd come into work because we had to come in at 4 a.m. to do radio in Dallas for
that
6
That was rough.
I had a lot of makeup on me. Glitter. Shirley said, Steve, what is that on you? What? I don't know. I'm just over there sparkling. Dog, I look like I'm actually on the pole.
Yeah.
Where was you coming from, Steve?
Oh, somebody.
Exactly. On this Women Crush Wednesday, we are going to crush on Jada Pinkett Smith and Gabrielle Union, though. Glad you guys made up.
Like Kim Kardashian, Matt Gaylord.
Nephew Tommy has a prank phone call coming up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. The subject, don't hold my past against me. But up next, the nephew is here with the prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Just FYI before I get to this. My Wednesday woman crush is J-Lo. I just want you to know that.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Tommy.
That's good.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Huh? Tommy.
Married man.
Tommy.
That's good.
Boy, what I do?
You married. We own in Houston. Oh, what's wrong with you?
He's stupid.
I can't.
He can have a Wednesday crush.
Come on, let me have
Tommy.
A.
Tommy. Okay. You put your wife on there, fool.
Okay.
Ah, Lord, he'll never learn, Steve.
Put J-Lo on your damn page. Ignorant.
Okay, just run this then. I'm
dumb
sorry.
As a damn dumb.
Praise dancers. Run it.
Hello?
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How you doing? I'm looking for Sister Tanya.
This is Sister Tanya.
Sister Tanya, this is Brother Fuller from the church. How are you?
Oh, I'm well, Brother Fuller. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. We wanted to give you a call about the praise dancing that's at the church. First of all, I wanted to really show you how much you're doing a great job over there with the praise dancers, and you definitely do a great job on every third Sunday that you guys actually perform. Everybody seems to really like it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What can I do for you today?
There is a bit of a situation with, it's been brought to our attention. We actually had a small gathering, a little meeting about it, and I've been elected to actually give you a call.
And who is this again? I'm sorry. Who are you again?
Brother Fuller.
Uh-huh. And who had a meeting?
Some of the brothers at the church and pastor actually sat in for a moment on it, and I was actually elected to actually just give you a call. Nothing that I don't think we can't get rectified and move on smoothly as we normally do, but I just think we wanted to reach out to you and kind of make you aware of it if you don't mind.
Okay. And what things are those?
Well, Sister Tanya, has any of the praise dancers before they became praise dancers was any of them strippers?
I beg your pardon?
Was any of the praise dancers that at the church that you have on the praise team right now, was any of them strippers in the past?
I'm sorry, sir. I don't really know who you are, and I don't really understand this line of questioning.
Well, like I said, I'm Brother Fuller. I don't think we've met, but I've been elected to give you a call. Now it seems like what happened is this past week when you all actually danced, it seemed like a couple of the girls was actually gyrating during the praise routine.
Say what? Gyrating. Brother Fuller, I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you saw. None of my girls were gyrating. They were dancing for the Lord. If you look through your Lord's eye, perhaps you would see them better, instead of maybe you were looking through the gyrating eye.
No. See, a couple of the girls, we can point them out. A couple of them have strip girl tendencies, evidently, because some of them have been driving.
Strip girl tendencies. You know what? Sir, I think we need to complete this call. Perhaps I need to call Bishop and speak to him myself because, you know, I don't know what you do all day, but I have a real job, and I'm sitting here holding a conversation in my office about gyrating strippers in the church. Are you kidding me?
Ma'am, listen. Now, here's a couple other things that they're talking about. Some of the girls' feet are real ashy when you all are performing, and they want to see if maybe you can I don't know. Maybe I don't know if y'all need the grip or whatever that y'all don't put lotion on. We're not sure what that is. As well as the toenail polish. Everybody has 3, 4, 5 different designs and everything. Is it any way y'all can be in unison with your toenail polish? But the most important thing is the gyrating during the dance routine.
I don't know what your feet look like. I don't need you calling me, talking to me about my girls, their feet, their nail polish. Perhaps your mind should be on Jesus instead of on them. How about that?
It's hard for my mind to be.
I don't have time.
It's hard for my mind to be on Jesus when somebody's shaking their butt at the church. Now, that's the problem.
You know what? Look, I'm at work. Now, I'm trying to keep a work tone. You're going to make me curse up here. Now, let me tell you something. Don't call me anymore. I will deal with Pastor. If he has something to say with me, he can say it to me personally. But I'm done with this conversation.
Are you going to deal with the gyrating is what we want to know. Maybe, you know what, it just hit me. Maybe you one of the ones that's doing the gyrating.
Look, let me tell you something. My girls ain't doing no gyrating, and neither am I. Now, I am done with this conversation. Do you understand me?
But listen.
I'm done.
Are you done with the gyrating? That's what we want to stop. So we can't praise the Lord if the booties is shaking.
You know what? Sir, look, I got to go to work. I got to go. Now, again, I don't know what your issue is. It sounds to me like you have an issue with gyrating booties. I have not heard so much gyrating booties in one conversation in my entire life. Now, my mind is set on Jesus. I don't know what your mind is set on.
Well, Sister Tanya, before you was a praise dance ministry, over the ministry, did you ever used to strip?
No, I didn't do no stripping. Now, did your wife do any stripping?
What?
Did your mama do any stripping?
Wait a minute, man.
You heard what I said. You heard what? How you like it if somebody called you and asked you if your mama did some stripping? How you like that?
You know what I want to know? When is the next rehearsal? That way I can come and pick out who it is that's doing this gyrating.
You don't have any business at my rehearsal. I don't want to see you at my rehearsal. I don't want to see any parts of you in my rehearsal. If I see you near one of my girls, I swear I'm coming up to you myself. Do you understand me?
We need to find out who's doing that gyrating.
You need to stay your butt in your own house.
And I'm glad y'all ain't dancing when the plate is being passed, because ain't no telling how you act with them wands coming through that.
You know what? That's it. You call me disrespecting me, I'm at work. I can't even handle this no more. You know what? Don't call me no more. Don't look at my girls no more. Matter of fact, come near the church and see what I got for you.
I want to know, is you going to stop the gyrating? I'm not going to do a thing. Who you think you talking to like that? You're supposed to be a minister.
I'm done listening to you. Now I'm getting ready to go.
Well, I got one more thing to say to you before you leave.
Now, you ain't got a thing to say to me. I said I was done.
And I said I got one more thing to say. Is you listen?
You know what, man? Get off my phone.
I'm going to say it anyway. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your entire praise ministry congregation, all your girls, got me to prank phone call you.
Oh, I'm a shitty. For real? Oh, they got me cursing on the radio. Oh, I think I'm going to have it.
Hey, I got one thing to ask you, Tanya. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
Nobody else but the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
That is praise dance team. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Do a little stripping for me if you don't mind. Hello.
Oh, Lord, Tommy. Oh, Jesus.
Do a little stripping for me.
Well, you are constantly in my prayers.
I've never really understood.
I can't hear you.
I've never really understood them.
You don't like praise dance team?
No, it's not in the Bible.
The whole idea of the praise dance.
No, you can pray. It does say praise the Lord in the dance.
In there, but praise dancers are not in there.
Well, how?
Not team.
No.
I
don't get the white face. That's what.
Yeah,
that's the mind now.
Yeah, turn around and the whole church see this white face.
I can accept the gloves. I'm gonna let you have that. But the white face?
Our praise dancers don't have that, and they're excellent.
They don't all speak the same language.
No, they ain't.
You guys just don't appreciate it.
It's an art form.
It's an art form.
I want the same pedicure though. Everybody toes got to be same. Sure.
I don't like the different sizes of the people on the team. They don't look good.
Are Are you when sure the, you want to say that right
twirling,
now?
It don't look the same as the big person twirling.
It throws
twirling.
You off.
It's
you don't
not,
know
it's not the
on.
Same turn.
You can't focus. I'm with you on that.
Y'all waiting on somebody to catch up.
Yeah, the little people turn all the way. They back around way quicker than the big person.
Now you got to wait for the big one to turn around.
You guys have
see,
to see some real
see, when you
crazy.
Spin yeah. and you skinny, you come back around a lot
now
quicker.
We're waiting. We're waiting.
See, when you big, it ain't a spin. It's a rotate.
It's a turn and rotate.
It's not a spin. It's a rotate.
On action.
And now we're just in here looking at this mayhem, this disorganized turn. Go. Once they come out that turn, it's, they never get caught back up.
And then the big one got short arms, so when the arms spread out, right. the arms are not all the way up with the other.
Right, right. This your one. Wings don't really look like wings.
You know what I'm talking about?
All right. Today's Strawberry Letter, the subject, Don't Hold My Past Against Me. We'll do that right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Time for the letter. And if you do want advice on relationships, on sex, on dating, on work, on parenting, whatever it might be, submit your Strawberry Letter to steveharveyfm.com and click Submit Strawberry Letter.
All right, all right.
Before we do the Strawberry Letter, I'm going to make a special announcement that I'm just decided that I'm going to start a petition to end Praise Day nationwide. Just please sign. Please sign your name. Your name will be held anonymous. I'm just looking for the sheer number of people that's with me.
#PraiseDance no more.
Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
So stupid.
All right. Water splashing and stuff. Everybody wet.
Subject, Don't Hold My Past Against Me. Dear Stephen Shirley, I have a question and I need your advice. When should I tell a new love interest that I have been to prison? I am not the average parolee, though. I am an older woman that served a lengthy prison term as a first offender for transporting drugs. Since my release from prison, I have earned a degree, and I have a great career for many years. I own a home, and I'm an upstanding member of my community. No one would ever believe that I have had a considerable amount of my life controlled by the Department of Corrections. So, when is it appropriate to disclose this information to a man? I don't want to share it up front because I don't want to be judged unfairly. I also don't want to wait too long because I don't want to shock the man. In my last relationship, my man did not hold it against me. We broke it off for other reasons. Since him, I met a man and we were talking about people being in prison, and he had strong views against it, so I didn't pursue anything further with him to avoid telling him about my past. I want desperately to be in love, but I'm afraid to be open and honest with guys I meet. It may not be, you know, it may not be that big of a deal, and I'm worried for nothing. What are your thoughts? Well, I think the timing is everything, and I think you should be honest with him. And you're right, you shouldn't wait too long. If he's a new love interest, I'm assuming that you guys are dating and going out to dinner and such things. So even though it's hard for you to bring it up because you don't want to be judged, you know you have to bring it up. So one night at dinner, as early as possible, you know, if not the first date, the second date, go ahead and tell him. You know, people have to like you for who you are. You did what you did. You paid your debt to society. You spent many years in prison, you said. Now that's over. You know, everyone gets a second chance. I think you deserve a second chance, and you've proved that with your second chance, you've become a better person. You say you're an upstanding member in your community. You own your own home. You've had a great career for many years. You have a degree. So, I mean, you're clearly a changed person. So if the person who you're with likes you and, you know, if you once you tell them, excuse me, they like you for who you are, they're not going to hold that against you. I mean, there have been many people out there that have done time and have gone on to do upstanding things. And I think you're one of those. So tell him as soon as possible. First, if not the first date, definitely the second date. Steve?
First of all, congratulations.
Yeah.
On picking yourself up and turning yourself around. Shall I not say yourself? Let me say praise to God for picking you up and turning you around. That God is in the forgiving business. God is in the delivery business. God is in the dust you off business. God is in the make your dream come true business. You are a result of that. The fact that you're an older woman and you served a lengthy prison term as a first offender for transporting drugs, you've earned a degree, you have had a great career for many years, you own a home, and am an upstanding member of your community. No one would ever believe you did a considerable amount of time controlled by the Department of Corrections. So when is it appropriate to disclose this information to a man? I don't want to share it up front, and you shouldn't. This is nothing you need to share up front. It ain't really ain't nobody business yet. Now, Shirley gives good advice. I happen to disagree with sharing this with a man on the first or second date. First or second date don't mean nothing. I think you reveal this information to a man once you all are about to be intimate. Then the relationship going somewhere. Y'all just talking and dating? What is this? No. If you feel like it's about to get intimate, then you need to reveal this information and I'll tell you why. Because a man is now more vested in you. He's developed feelings for you without, as you say, being judgmental. Because remember the one guy she was liking and she tried to share it up front, you know, he set up and had really strong feelings about people that had been to prison. Where his ass come from?
He's out.
You know what I mean? So that has happened to her. So rightfully so, she's concerned about running off a good man too early. So first and second date is out of the question. I disagree. I think it's something you keep. Let a person get to know you, get to understand how you are and feel you without having that information to taint who you really are. Because it can happen because people are human beings. I got, should nobody judge you? Everybody should take you at face value for what you are. That ain't how people operate. Let's not be naive. So simple. You wait until you're about to become intimate, and then you drop it on. Period. Mm. Now, if anybody don't like that information, I'm sorry. Too bad. But that's when I would do it. Now, any questions, Shirley?
I've been to the pen. You say that right before y'all start.
No, when it's about to become intimate.
No, I don't have any questions. We do disagree, I guess.
Go ahead, Shirley.
No, I guess we do disagree on that. I think you should, the earlier the better, you know, and give the person, the other person, the option of whether they want to continue the relationship. People do have strong opinions about, you know, people who've been to prison. So I just say the earlier the better. Timing is everything, of course. And, you know, give them the option of whether they want to hang in there or get out. That's my opinion.
Hang in there for what?
The woman has been out of prison for years.
Gotten a degree. We'll finish this when I come.
Okay. All right, we'll be back with part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's go with part two of your response to today's strawberry letter. Subject, don't hold my past against me.
See, and the reason I think that the
Let's recap, Steve.
Well, this woman
is
questioning if she needs some advice because she's been to prison before for a large part of her life. And she's wondering when is the right time to inform a man that she has been to prison. Because she's not the average parolee. She says she's an older woman, served a lengthy prison time as a first offender for transporting drugs. But since her release from prison, she's earned a degree. She has a great career for many years. She's a homeowner and an upstanding member of her community. No one would ever believe that I've had a considerable amount of my life controlled by the Department of Correction. I think you have a fabulous story today. Mm-hmm. I think that you are a story of redemption, overcoming, forgiveness, and God's grace. I think you have an incredible story to tell. I think if you told that story, if you peel back and remove the layer of secrecy as the story, this is my story. This is what I'm from, and this is what I've become, more people would resonate with you. I really feel that way. Now, as far as dating a man, if you don't want to take that route, then I don't think you should tell him on the first or second date. I think you should wait until you're intimate, about to become intimate. because you all know. Okay, when I see his ass next time, I bet he go down. Women know that.
Now what, so what, now what, what I'm saying to you. What if they gonna have sex on the first date? You know, how we get
well,
to that?
Then, see, what? Why are we talking about
this? I hate him.
Because she already, if you listen to the letter, is not a woman like that.
Should she wait till they're both undressed to say something?
That's my dog. I'm Team J all day long.
I have something to say.
No, don't you add to this ignorance?
I'm not. But it makes sense, though.
One more time, Jay, because I don't believe what you just said. I don't believe you said what you just said.
Should she wait till they're both undressed? Say, I know you like what you see, but yeah, there's something you need to know.
Don't mind the tattoos.
It's hard to fight naked, dog. You know that, man.
So anyway.
Right. You hired him, Steve.
Your option
and the
is
other one is your blood
to use
relative.
Your story as a story of redemption and overcoming. To write a book about it. Mm-hmm. To mentor young girls, to go into prisons and tell your story. I think your life has great value, too. I think your story, your past is your story.
Yeah. But
you can stand up and make the announcement. I've held this from you all for so many years because I was ashamed, but I'm no longer ashamed. I'm actually proud. I'm actually filled with God's grace now, and I want to share a story with you. In 1980, I was convicted for drug trafficking. I got caught up in a situation. I was young. Boom. I've been in jail for 20 years. I got out in 2005. Now, a lot of people going to start clearing out the jail.
Come on, Harvey.
But it's going to be some people.
There we go.
No, we still killing us.
Okay.
So the ones that are left, right?
Yeah.
So
you're going to see some walkouts. But then the people are just, you know, full of
those
themselves.
Are the ones that are really with you, right?
Them okie doke Christians anyway.
But, dog, couldn't we tell them, like, right after we do it? Can we tell me then? Let's get through it.
I know you
that way all that ain't on my mind. I don't want jail on my mind while we doing it.
I know you enjoyed it, but I got something to tell you.
That's how it's going to go, Jay.
Sure
it's going down.
Like it. Mm-hmm. Guess who you been with.
Now he's coming over.
Yeah, I want him to come
out. I was wondering how long
I've been taking no more.
You got caught up, Junior.
Y'all stop
all right,
it.
I got one more, Steve.
Y'all
listen,
stop it.
Just one more.
What?
You yell out, lights out! I'm sorry.
They'll know then. Yeah,
that's a sign right there. That's a big sign.
Yeah. Stupid.
Or something like, could you roll over and get my pants from under the bed? You laying on my pants.
I agree that she has a great, great, great story. We disagree on when she should tell them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think she could
use
this story and just take the whole veil of secrecy off of it, ma'am, and tell your story. See, if you tell your story, that keep people from telling it.
Right. Yeah.
You
tell your
first.
Own
you
truth.
Mm-hmm. I do like
you
that.
You reveal it. What they going to say.
Exactly.
She used to sell drugs. Well, yeah, I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he saved me. God got to save you from something. I think you have a great story of redemption. I say pull back the curtain yourself and walk out on there, and who going to be with you? Going to be with you. Mm-hmm. You'll find out who your cool people is right away.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do is pull the curtain back on that play and let them sit there and watch that for a minute. You'll find out who with you and who ain't.
Or well, right after sex, you could sing, oh, don't you know, that's the sound of the man.
Get back.
Working on the chain. Gang.
Oh, don't you know.
Really? Most people in her life, though, already know it, though, because she has to. I mean, you know they got to do background checks if she's an
or,
yeah. She has a great career for many years.
Y'all go to the restaurant.
You got caught
he on
up.
His way over here.
No, it's not good.
Time.
Why you eating so fast, baby? Why you eating so
minutes.
Fast?
What?
Your head all the way in your bowl. What you eating
or
so
just
fast?
Walk in the restaurant and get up against the wall.
Yeah.
And walk along the wall till you get by the kitchen door. Ask them to hand it to you.
Why'd you put that fork in your pocket? Yeah. What is that about?
Why are your soap is skinny?
Why is your favorite movie Shawshank Redemption? Why is that? I don't want to watch nothing else.
Hey, hey, hey. Why is you filing your butternut? What is you putting tape around the butternut?
You guys.
I knew it wouldn't take him long.
You knew it. All right, listen, we got to get out of here. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. Please join me this Thursday for the Strawberry Letter.
Ramen noodles in your
the Strawberry Letter live after show on Facebook, okay?
Why is everything you cook in a loaf?
Coming up in about 10 minutes, Steve has 10 things that your ex should never see you do. After this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. 10 things you have for us that your ex should never, ever see you do. Let's go.
These are things, fellas, that you don't need your ex to see happen to you. You ready for the first one?
You got the list. You got it. So you yeah. Run them down.
She cannot see you on the bus.
Yo, not a good look.
You better be driving it.
She driving by, and your ass at the bus stop.
Get low.
What?
Get low.
Here's another thing. She bet not pull up at the restaurant, and your ass is the valet. Boy. Boy, here's another one. She cannot be driving down the freeway and look over there and your car is broke down on the highway.
Yeah. Another not a good
look. Oh, Lord, this is too good. These are things that your ex cannot see happen to you. Y'all in line. At the Walmart.
Yes.
She behind you and you don't know it.
Right.
And your card don't go through.
God, dog.
God. And you turn around and it's her.
That's why I left you in the first place.
You
here's another thing
down.
Your mama can't see happen to
your girl,
you.
Your girl.
I mean your girl. Your ex-girl can't see this happen to you. You done moved back into your mama's house. She was dropping off some pie to your mama for Mother's Day.
She see your car.
And your ass come up out the basement with some hot shoes on.
And a wife beater.
And a wife beater with a pack of cigarettes behind your ear.
Oh, damn, Johnny.
And a coat on because ain't no heat down.
And here's one that you can't have happen to you. She find out. No, hold up. This happened to you. Your ex sends you a text that was meant for someone else.
Wow.
But the text say, I'm in the shower.
Ooh.
The door is open.
Oh, yeah.
Followed by, I'm sorry. That wasn't for you. Wow. My bad, dog.
That's cold. That's deliberate, man.
Instant tears. Instant crying.
I'm in the shower. The door is open.
What is the text?
Followed by, I'm sorry. That was not for you.
He cried.
I'm in the shower.
Here's another thing your ex can't find out about you. Okay. You done messed around and lost that good-ass job. She walk in and you down at the Wendy's. You're replenishing the salad bar. She in there with the kids.
Right, right.
Mama, ain't that Mr. Jerome? Shut up.
Let him work at peace.
Let him work.
That's cold. That's cold, man.
Come on, Steve.
You come to church walking. It just all went bad. But here's my favorite one of all. Drum roll, cat. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the top thing that your ex can never see happen to you.
What is it?
Here it is. Your new girlfriend look just like your brother.
God, dog, man.
Man.
Ooh, she ugly.
You dating your
is
brother?
Is that out? No, baby, this is...
My new lady.
Excuse me? I beat that. You lying.
You can't let them see you do bad. Oh. Ever. Mm. Ever. 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 Ever.
Oh. No, never
you
ever.
You got to move if you got it going on like that.
Yeah.
You cannot let your ex see your new girlfriend talk to you crazy outside. Mm, you can't
that,
do that.
That'll hurt.
Mm. Oh, that hurt. Good oh, one, my God.
Good one.
Ooh, somebody ain't got it together.
Let me tell you another thing your ex cannot see you do. Washing cars at the car rental return. If they pull up in that car and they look out, see you out there washing cars. Is that him?
What you don't want her to see you do, out there cleaning porta potties is that for your job. That's what you don't want her to see. Clean porta potties now?
No, you don't want her.
Glad we broke up,
that, man.
No, you don't. Like, you cannot be the mascot at the birthday party. Ooh. You cannot walk your ass in there in no SpongeBob SquarePants. Yeah. At her baby birthday party. You cannot be that.
Is he Chuck E. Cheese?
No.
Yeah. What you doing in Chuck E. Cheese? No. Yeah.
Cannot be at the birthday party at the mask. They not going to go for that.
Mm-mm. Glad we broke
your
that.
Ex cannot see you rummaging through a trash can.
Yeah, pull it right back to the
you have lost all your shame, everybody else, but she can't see that.
They cannot see that.
She cannot see you riding around town on your car, and you got that little donut on there, man.
Yeah. That hurt.
That would hurt, man.
She see
you. No, hey, well,
he ain't got new tire money.
Your ex can't see you. She at the stoplight.
Yeah.
She can't see you pull up next to her. You don't know it's her. You on your brother bike.
Oh, my God.
Sweating like hell. Trying to make it to work.
I tell you what she can't see.
What?
I tell you what she can't see. She got them kids and pull up to a McDonald's window and you work in the window.
Hello, may I take your order, please?
You I thought I recognized your voice.
Hey, everybody, lean over and say hey to your daddy.
Here's one that really hurt. They cannot see you with your shirt open in some flip-flops in a yard. They cannot see you over there.
You doing yard work.
You just got a shirt open.
All right, get it together, guys. Wow. Coming up at the top of the hour, 2 Chainz proposed again to his wife. And we're going to ask Steve and Tommy, well, certainly not Jay, how they did
Hell
it
no.
when they proposed. Yeah, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, well, look who's here, who got here fresh out of the gym. Is your voice all right, Carla? Because Steve said you were doing some hollering.
Hey,
in
y'all.
The cheer. Hey,
ooh.
Girl.
What's up?
Ooh. Carla for real.
My baby flip better than your baby.
Exactly.
Yes, all of that. Screaming. Yes, I'm back from Orlando, Florida. Thank you, crew.
Let me get you
y'all.
Some green
girl,
tea, girl.
You look sexy. You sound sexy.
Oh, you
sound real good, Carla. Yeah, Carla.
Go with the sexy. Go with the sexy.
You would chain your sexy. Butt off down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She don't win, I'll kill everybody in here.
Baby don't win, I'll kill everybody in here.
Tasha is a champion, though. That baby.
Yeah. It was great. A big mm-hmm. dance summit, cheer summit. Tommy's daughter was there and his wife.
Yeah, said that.
It was big. It was big for the cheer and dance world this past weekend in Orlando.
And it's over.
It's over. Cheer and dance
Carla,
season is over.
You do know when your daughter does something, we get more days. I don't know why you came right back.
I know, right?
They've been gone by 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know
I'm going to take off again. It's Mother's Day week, right? Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys, though. Thank you for
that's
the support.
That's awesome.
Appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. We love that baby. All right, well, got to ask you this, Carla. Did you see this? 2 Chainz proposed again to his wife at the Met Gala on the red carpet.
Yes, I saw that.
And 2 Chainz and Keisha Ward have been married since 2013, but that did not stop him from getting down on one knee to pop the question again. How romantic. And this is a really romantic part, Jay. Are you listening?
No, not at all.
He upgraded her ring. He upgraded her ring.
It was already up, wasn't it?
He upgraded her ring. I should say her bling. So did you guys know that President Trump proposed to First Lady Melania Trump at the Met Gala 14 years ago. That was back, of course, in 2004. Donald Trump gave Melania a 15-carat engagement ring. And now, how ironic that Mr. Trump is not even welcomed at the Met Gala. That's according to Vogue.
In her room.
Yeah.
You ain't gotta go to the Met Gala.
You ain't gotta go all the way to the Met Gala.
Vogue. Go down the hall. Look,
take your ass down the hall.
Vogue editor-in-chief Anna Wintour says, you are not welcomed here. So Steve, tell me, how did you guys propose? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember mine clear.
Oh, what happened?
Okay, this is probably the most romantic I think I've ever been. Okay.
Okay.
Drive through at Popeye. I didn't have no money. Mm-hmm. She paid for everything. That's when I knew this was the woman for me.
When does the romantic part kick in?
I knew that was my
soulmate. Romantically is the question.
You don't see the romantic. Took my college class ring off and gave it there because I ain't have nothing else. Mm-hmm. But we ain't get married about 15, 16 years later.
Boy, that's romantic. I know it's women hanging on with bated breath. Ooh, boy, I can't wait for somebody to do me like that.
When we eat Popeyes today, boy, we be sitting there crying. You hear me?
I have a tear in my eye right now. Yeah. All right, come on, Steve. Show them how it's done.
Well, I took Marjorie to La Pamelia. You all know where that is.
Yes, we do.
I took you all there. Mm-hmm. The one and only in Cabo. Mm-hmm. We checked into the room. I had prearranged it with the maitre, the manager of the restaurant. So I took my ring that I had gotten her, she didn't know I had it, to the manager and gave it to her. He put it in the safe until dinner time. She decided at dinner time she didn't want to go to dinner. Let's just have room service.
Okay.
You finna mess up every damn thing.
A wrench.
So I said, no, babe, we really, really got to go. We really have to go. The manager's expecting us. So she got dressed. We go down there to the restaurant. We're sitting there. I got the wine cellar reserved. Private, but the wine cellar is like in the kitchen, but it's glass all the way around it with the bottles in it. Mm-hmm. But the people in the kitchen can leak in the wine cellar. You can look out into the kitchen, watch them fix food, but you in a private room. Mm-hmm. Real sexy. Real cold. Uh-huh. So we eat the dinner, dessert comes. I know her favorite dessert is chocolate molten lava cake. Mm-hmm. So they bought it under the Silver Dome. And they set mine down and they opened it. They took hers and it rolls up. And then she looked up under there and she peeked down and she saw that ring.
Woo!
And yes! She just started hollering. She started hollering. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then she just started crying.
Aww.
She just started crying. She came, jumped on my lap, and she cried. She cried. All the people in the kitchen was standing around the wine cellar clapping. All the chefs stopped cooking.
Hey, nobody getting no food right now.
So she finally gets up because she got to go get herself together. She go in the restroom. I'm down there. I'm king right now, right?
Uh-huh.
She in the restroom. I thank the manager. I slide him his tip and everything. And so she in the bathroom next to this girl. And the girl is crying too.
Oh.
And she goes, honey, I know what you're going through. They just are sick, don't they? They don't ever get anything right. She said, Marjorie says, I'm not crying because I'm crying because I got a ring. And she pulled the ring up her shoulder too. She said, honey, that ain't no ring. That's a rock. And they hugged and everything. Marjorie came out of the bathroom with the girl. They hugged and I just wanted to see who did. Oh my God. Oh my God. Are you Steve Harvey? Oh my God, you're Steve Harvey? And I wasn't even this then, you know, but.
Ain't no way in hell that's better than two piece and a biscuit at Popeye.
It is not better.
And getting your ring at the drive through.
Food or nothing.
See, and right there, see the two bitter ass.
I wanted to hear Jay's story.
I don't have food enjoyment at all.
Go to all social media at Steve Harvey FM and tell us about your marriage proposals. Were they as good as Tommy and Steve's? Coming up at 20 after, best and worst states for working moms. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, guys. We know that. And Wallet Hub has just come out with their list of the best and worst states for working moms. They judged all 50 states and the District of Columbia in 15 key metrics in areas such as child care, professional opportunities, and work-life balance. Some of the best states are Vermont, Minnesota, Massachusetts.
That's cold. Eh? What are you talking about?
District of Columbia.
Black
Connecticut.
Uh-huh. D.C., huh?
Yeah, New Jersey and New York. Those are some of the best states.
Cold everywhere you just said.
Now, I want you guys to chime in. What do you think are some of the worst states? I'll start it off with Louisiana.
Wow.
Mississippi.
Check. That's correct.
Alabama.
Steve. Correct.
Alabama.
I bet you Texas on that.
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Arkansas.
No, that's not on there.
What about Georgia?
Yes, Georgia is on there.
Okay.
South Carolina.
South Carolina, Steve.
North Carolina.
No, not North Carolina.
Oh. Only one more left?
Yeah. The worst states are Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, Mississippi, Georgia, and Texas. You guys got all of those. The only one you left out was Nevada.
That was my Nevada?
Next. Nevada for the worst states for working moms.
Yeah.
What? We love Vegas. What are you talking about, Jay? Okay. Well, Carla, you and I are both working moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my mom helped me out a great deal with raising Sheridan, thank God. But it is, it's hard. We can do it. Yeah, we're
I don't want the mama job. That's a cold job right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's so tough.
I bow down to all you mothers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And not only do you come to work, you go to all the functions and all the you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're there for the owies and the boo-boos and the combing the hair.
It's tough.
And
I have to admit,
I have two daughters, and in the summertime when they would spend summer with me, I would do their hair, but it didn't look right at all.
Yeah, they were mad about that.
You should have had some baby wigs. Some baby wigs for the summer.
You know what? That's a great invention.
I said it too. I was saying, you take that on Shark Tank.
Baby wigs.
We need some baby wigs.
For daddy.
For daddy.
You're going to be with your daddy this summer. Come get we're going to get you a baby wig.
Baby wigs in your suitcase.
Mama gonna braid your hair, and you ain't gonna take it down till you get back to me at the end of the summer.
Looking bad.
But we're gonna put the baby wig on.
Why is that so funny though?
Because you can visualize it though. Can you visualize it?
Here you go.
Nice little baby wig.
You're a single dad, and you're about to have your daughters for the summer.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You need to invest in Tommy's baby wig.
Great hair.
All right, Tommy, I need a testimony about a baby wig. Go ahead, Tommy, do it.
My daughter came to me this summer, and she stayed with me, and I couldn't do her hair. But thank God for Tommy and his baby wigs. We had four different baby wigs. We had a front lace baby wig.
Oh.
We had a very nice curly baby wig.
Yeah.
And then we had the super afro baby wig.
Ooh.
My baby was at church every Sunday looking so different. Thank you, Tommy, for all you've done for the fathers out there who have their kids in the summer. Tommy's baby wig.
Baby wig. I love it, Tommy.
Baby wig.
You know what that makes me think of, though, when I want to come back? Please reboot. In Living Color.
Oh, man.
Please reboot.
That's the one to bring back.
Yeah. Because baby wigs would be perfect.
What?
Baby wigs would definitely be a funny skit.
And you know homie would not play that. You know that.
No. All right, we'll have more of this ignorance when we come back right after this.
Baby wigs!
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
George Zimmerman back in the news. You know him, the Florida man who was acquitted for the 2012 killing of Trayvon Martin back in 2012. Well, Zimmerman was arrested again last week for stalking.
Maybe
and
keep him this time.
He was arrested for stalking and harassing a private investigator whom he threatened to feed to an alligator. Zimmerman was booked into the Seminole County Jail following an investigation into claims made by a private investigator who accused Zimmerman of making threats. The PI, his name is Dennis Warren. He was hired by a production company that was making a documentary about the Trayvon Martin shooting. Warren says he stopped talking to Zimmerman when he started making threats, but Zimmerman continued to stalk and harass him and the documentary's producer. At one point, Zimmerman suggested that he was going to feed Warren to an alligator. Deputies say they've recorded 55 threatening calls, 67 text messages, 36 voicemails, and 27 emails from Zimmerman over a 10-day period back in December. In one of the texts, Zimmerman included a link to an article in which he was quoted as saying, "I know how to handle people who mess with me. I have since February of 2012.
Wow.
Anyone who messes with my parents will be fed to an alligator." And you know that Zimmerman has been released from jail on bond.
Of course.
Yeah.
Talking tough.
Of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does he keep getting?
He talking to all the right people.
Yeah.
See, all his conversation is directed at the right people. Mm-hmm. He killed his little boy.
Yep.
That's who he killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now he running his mouth with his little private. He talks to all the right people.
What do you mean?
He know who to pick at.
Mm-hmm. He ain't ran.
He know an easy target. It's some people out there that he can, all this bravado and grandeur.
Yeah.
He could take all this to a certain group of people, and we put a stop to this.
Yeah, all that vigor. Come on with
See,
it.
See, all that he got? All that he got is some coward-ass mess he
doing.
Yes,
it is.
He a little punk-ass dude.
Beating you to alligators.
Talking about anybody mess with me, I've been, hey, boy. Yeah. You killed a boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's what
For
you
no
did.
Reason.
Coward.
You In killed a boy. Mm-hmm. With a gun, who was unarmed. That's what you did. You ain't a badass dude.
No.
You're not. And this feeding the alligator to... Yeah. See, everything you gonna do, you stop all that talk. I know people don't do no talking.
Yeah,
No talk at 57 Texas. No, no.
And what I'm doing while you trying to feed me to the alligator? What is I'm doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some people out there that don't talk. Next thing you know, you're nursing a behind whooping.
Yeah, it's somebody
there's no talking.
No.
There would be no talking.
No, whatsoever.
I don't. I got some people that,
Will not even talk.
If somebody get on you, you think it is an alligator.
When they show up, Dog. They come to deliver a behind
whooping.
Yes.
All it is.
That's all they're there for.
Obviously, he does not want them to make the documentary.
All they
want to
do is acknowledge who
happened.
You are. Zimmerman?
You
yes.
Zimmerman?
You Zimmerman?
Cool. That's all. Cool.
You Zimmerman?
Yeah. You ain't even got to say yeah. You just put a little twinkle in your eye that you've heard that name before.
Yeah. There's some people out there deliver it. Deliver it.
You know, talking tough, though. Yeah.
And these are to film producers and people like that. Like you say, Steve, these kinds of people, not, you know, people that would come after him.
His day coming, though.
They're not finna.
Oh,
I promise you his day coming.
But over a 10-day period, 55 threatening calls, 67 text messages, 36 voicemails, 27 emails. Jeez. All right, we'll be back to close out the show with Steve's closing remarks at 49 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are, last break of the day. Time for Steve's closing remarks.
Okay, today Tommy sent me something. Sent me a caption that I'm going to keep because I oftentimes keep quotes in my motivational folder, in my photo stream. And I just look at them from time to time when I'm feeling a certain kind of way. Sometimes I just need a little uplift myself, you know. And Tommy sent me this today, and I'm going to share it with you. And it's going to cause me to expound on it a bit because it's something I really do believe in. It says, "Do not ask God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. Do not ask God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet." You know, folks, it's very simple. God can put his finger on something to bless if you give him something to put his finger on. But you can't ask God to do something and you're making no effort. "Lord, help me get a job," but you ain't putting in no applications. "Lord, help me do right," but all you ever want to do is wrong. You just committed to wrong. You know, you got to make a move in the right direction. You know, faith without works is dead. So what Tommy sent me, "Do not ask God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet," is something all of us are guilty of it from time to time. Sometimes we get complacent. Sometimes we just get to feeling sorry for ourselves. You know, "Oh man, I guess it ain't meant to be. Oh Lord, what now?" You know, look, man, You can complain your way through life if you want to, but you really have to make an attitude adjustment. You got to get two things moving, your attitude and your feet. Those two things have to get moving. You got to start taking steps. You may not know the way how to get to the finish line, but the finish line is somewhere. It ain't where you at. The finish line is never where you're standing. So you got to start taking some steps. And once again, you may not know all the steps necessary to get to the tape, but you got to start the process, man. So like the caption says, stop asking God to guide your footsteps if you ain't willing to move your feet. You got to put it into motion. Look, it's just a dream when you're thinking about it. But you got to put some, you got to put your dreams to work. Motivation is when your dreams put on work clothes. You got to take your dreams and put work clothes on them, man. You got to start stepping in the right direction. You've got to make a move towards the light. You've got to step towards the finish line. You've got to start to get to where you're trying to get to. You got to get to go. You got to go to get. Period. You cannot stay that. Wherever you're trying to get to can't be right where you at. It can't be. It can't be. I give you, look, this is a silly example. But let's say your family reunion is in Wyoming, which I know it's not. That's why I said it. And you drive to Wyoming. When you get to Wyoming, and you reach Wyoming, the state of Wyoming, you still got to do something. Because where is the family reunion at? You just can't go to Wyoming. Well, I'm here, Lord. You here, you well. You, even when you get to where you say you're going, you got to move around. Let's say you get to the park where you're holding the family reunion, and you get to the park. Once you get to the park, what? You got to do something? You going to play softball, volleyball? You going to sit on the tree, play domino? You going to barbecue? You going to make lemonade? You constantly got to be doing something. There is no when you get there, you there, and there is no more movement required. There's movement required throughout your life because wherever you're trying to get to, it ain't where you at. I can promise you that. It's never where you at. I'm doing very well in my life. It ain't where I'm going. How would I be just, I'm here now, this it. This it. What? No more dreams, Steve. No more visions. You want nothing else. You here. This it for you. And it doesn't matter to me that people look at me and go, man, you got all this. I don't even see what you tripping for. I ain't tripping. I just want to be more than I am. I'm really trying to be a better person. I really, really am. I'm not content with the person I am. I could improve. I could actually be a better person. So I'm in the process. God ain't through with me yet. He's working on me. I'm trying. I'm better than I used to be. But I'm still got my feet moving. So I'm asking God to guide my steps. But I got my feet moving, man. Stop asking God to guide your footsteps if you ain't willing to move your feet. Can't happen. What you want? Come on, man. Stop that. You're being unreasonable to God. Guiding your footstep and moving your feet down the path, that's two different things. You got to do that. You make one step, he'll make two. So if you don't make the one, you cannot expect him to make the two. He can touch you and bless you, but you got to give him something to bless. You got to do something. Can't sit at the house watching TV. That's it. Stop asking God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. Thank you, Tommy. Those are my closing remarks.
Drop it.
Okay.
Who?
Now that actually sounded like a mic.
Stop asking God to move your feet.
That was encouraging. Yeah. Good way to start the day. Keep it going.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good one. Have a great weekend, too. I'll be working. Man. I'll be working whenever you get here.
Wednesday. Oh, yes. Yes.
Steve Harvey contest. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.